I would say about 25 years ago, about 25 years ago, I wanted to sing for the Lord. And I didn't, my voice was okay, but I wanted to sing to him. I just wanted to sing to him and honor him and glorify him in my song. And knew that he was going to use tribal ministries to do that, and had no idea that my prayer was going to be answered in such a big way, and that just a few years later he would bring me into a family that could be part of the worship team in King David, the Levites. He would bring me into this gifted family of musicians and singers. And both my sister-in-law, Rochelle, my brother-in-law, Chris, and my husband, Trey, all have the most gorgeous voices I've ever heard. And, their children, Megan and CJ, and even recently hearing Joshua, that, this family of gifted and, knowing their, that this was not just a couple of generations, this was many generations on the. And we had the service when their father passed away, and we had to move it to a bigger venue because so many people wanted to be there. And the dad had been given the keys of Seattle, and he'd been given the resolution from the Washington government, and just all the people, and that, Quincy Jones and Kenny G and all these gifted musicians from around the world. But then I heard this, the family gathered to sing, and the entire family. And how many people, Chris or honey, how many people started, family members started singing, How Excellent? That song at Dad's Memorial. Do either one of you remember how many family members?
Megan, CJ, and you guys.
It was way bigger than that. It was cousins and aunts and uncles, and it was a lot of people, a lot of people. And hearing all those relatives sing How Excellent was unbelievably gorgeous. And I was like, wow. And I was a little shy to sing around these guys. And it's like, Lord, I don't have the voice. I don't have the breath, And I didn't have, I love his word. I've always loved his word. And Rochelle was the, she was the worship leader within tribal ministries, and the Lord would just give her these incredible songs, and she would give them, and she would know which part, and she would give me songs that were mine to sing as part of the ministry team. And I would listen to the songs. But I'd always ask the Lord, Father, where is your word in this? My Lord Jesus, where is your word? And I was struggling with a song that I had been given, and I had prayed and had prayed, asked him for, where is your word in these songs? And when she gave me a song that I was struggling with. And we were actually in Spain. The Lord had called us to Spain, and actually called us literally to a potter's house to just rest from all the ministry we were doing, and he just did some just incredible, miraculous things there while we were there. And, I mean, everything from, you know, Isaiah 40. I was sitting and preparing a study for the ministry team, and the Lord said, look up. And I looked up, and there was an eagle literally hanging in the sky. He just seemed to be hanging. His wings were out, and he would just gently flap to keep from moving too much, you know. And his wings would just gently flap, and then he'd hang there and just slowly, gently flap, and he'd continue to hang there. And all of a sudden, a wind blew right up under his wings, and he began to soar. He began to soar on the wind. And as I'm watching him, and I'm just like, my breath is taken away, the Lord says to me, this is what it looks like to wait upon the Lord. Isaiah 40:31, yet those who wait for the Lord will again new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. I literally watched. The Lord literally gave me a visual of what it means to mount up with wings as eagles. And he said, that's what I've called you to do. I want you to just wait for my spirit. And just be still. You know, even gave me understanding of being still. Cease striving. And know that he's God. Just gently hang there till his spirit began. And he was speaking to me about his messages to his people. That's how he wanted me to walk in terms of serving him. That I would wait on his messages. I would talk to him and then I would just wait. And I was blown away. And another time in the same villa, it was when he answered my prayer on a particular song, and we were actually singing, warming up, I Can Only Imagine. And we were singing, I Can Only Imagine. And all of a sudden, he took me into a vision. And I used to say to the team, I don't know how I will act when I see my Savior. And we were singing, I Can Only Imagine. You know, baby, how does that go a little bit?
I can only imagine what it will be like.
Sing it.
I can only imagine what it will be like.
Will I stand? Will I?
Yeah, let's see. I can only imagine what it will be like.
Does anybody remember the words?
When I walk
by your side,
on my own.
Wait.
I can only imagine what my eyes will see when you say,
sing with her.
Is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Will I stand in your presence?
And it was that one. Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall. And as we started to sing that, he took me into vision. And I was in a white robe. And he walked up and I fell to my knees. I fell to my knees. And, you know, even as I fell to my knees, he said, every tongue will confess and every knee shall bow. And I fell to my knees as I was weeping because I saw the one who loved me so and died for me. And that was when he first took me to that word, that every knee shall bow. And from then on, and it's so awesome, from then on, every time I hear a holy song, he gives me his word. He gives me his word, and it's like, wow. And that's how I know when it's a holy song that he has put in the heart of somebody. That, you know, versus one that someone is just singing. And I was like, wow. And so, and after this, ever since then, so whenever the Lord, and part of when I'm praying or when I'm thinking about him, he will bring a holy song. But with that holy song, he'll also bring scripture. And several days ago, and there are times that he'll just bring a song, and that happened several days ago. I woke up singing, and I was singing in my heart, Emmanuel. And I was singing, Emmanuel, 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 his name is called. And that song just kept playing over and over in my heart. His name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. His name is called Emmanuel. We love him so, we love him so. His name is called Emmanuel. And it just continued to play over and over in my soul, in my heart. And it played so frequently that I finally stopped and said, Lord. And I went to Matthew 1:23. We're going to open up with Matthew 1:23. Matthew 1:23. And Pastor Jeannie, will you read that?
Sure. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Is everyone there?
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Okay.
Yes.
Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us.
And Pastor Judy, I'm going to have you go up to 18 and read back down to 23.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translates means God with us.
And so, you know, as I reflected on that scripture, and at the same time that the Lord kept bringing a song to me, you know, and over the years and many years, I have both read and taught Matthew 1:23, and knowing from the previous passages and just knowing my Lord, knew who Emmanuel was, who Emmanuel is. Who is he? Amen. My husband said, Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, and he was speaking about his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. And when the song, you know, continued to play, I just stopped and said, Lord, what is it you want me to understand about this scripture? What is it that you want me to know about this scripture? And he didn't respond right away. In fact, when he responded was actually on Friday. On Friday, I began to pray about what was his message for you guys tonight. And it's like, Lord, what is the message to your servants for Tuesday night Logos study? And he said, Emmanuel. And I said, wow. I was like, woohoo, he's going to explain why he brought this to me. And I was excited about that. And the first thing that he said to me as I sat down on Saturday to begin to prepare the study and reflect on the word he would give me was, every title, every name and every title that our beloved Lord Jesus Christ was given, it holds the same weight as every word he speaks. Are you guys able to hear me? I hear like an echo.
I can hear you.
Okay. So every name he's given, every title he holds, holds the same weight as every word he speaks. And we know from the study before that God doesn't speak any word lightly. It was by words he created the whole universe. It was by his words that we're here today. And he said, my message is that I want my people to understand that is Emmanuel. I am truly the God who is with you. I'm the God who is among you. I'm the God who's in the midst of you. I'm the God who is beside you. And I'm the God who will always be with you. And it's like, you know, wow. He said, you don't need to fear because I'm with you. And he took me to examples of when his people went to war. See, we have so many battles in our lives. And every single testimony, every single word he put in his word is for our instruction. It's to strengthen us, it's to teach us, it's to, you know, every single, and even the battles that his people fought before us. And we fight different battles. We fight, you know, but the Lord continues to tell us that, you know, you're not fighting with flesh and blood. The battles that you fight, you know, it's not flesh and blood. But you will fight with flesh and blood. But if you focus on the person you're fighting with instead of focusing on the spirit behind the person, you'll lose the battle anyway. If you try to do it yourself versus take it to God, you'll lose the battle anyway. Let's go to Numbers 14:9. Numbers chapter 14, verse 9. And Dora, when we get there, it's yours, little one.
Numbers
chapter 14.
14, verse 9.
Yes.
Okay. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection. But the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them.
Wow. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've even read this passage of Scripture. And we're going to go up to verse 1 and read back down to verse 9. Dora, do you want to read that?
Sure. Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voice rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down to the ground before the whole community of Israel. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh.
Jephunneh. Yes, go girl, go!
Tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through the explorers is a wonderland. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey.
I read 9 again.
Okay. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them.
So the Lord had brought these folks, these obstinate folks, all the way to the land of promise, to the promised land. 40 spies had gone in. 12 spies had gone in for 40 days to look at the land. And only Caleb and Joshua came back out with a good report. Everyone else said, no, we look like, the land is plentiful, but we look like grasshoppers to ourselves. And no way, and so they were encouraging the people to turn back around that, they were going to be. And Joshua and Caleb were crying out, they're tearing this, don't do this. These people, even though that you may look like grasshoppers in your sight to them, they are our prey. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And the Lord had been telling them all along, he was bringing them into this land. But in their fear and rebellion, they basically called him a liar and said, nope, not going to happen. And they rebelled. But the Lord was with them. The Lord is with us. When the Lord is with you, I don't care what battle you are facing. If he is with you and you were with him and you were walking obediently before him, you will not fall. But if you're not, if you're doing things, and that's what I also love about the Lord. See, our Lord, everything is laid open and bare to him. Everything is laid open and bare to him. He gave us that example of Achan. See, Achan didn't think anybody knew what he did. And the Lord had forewarned, don't covet, don't take anything. I've set this stuff for destruction. But Achan hid coveted some things from Jericho and hid them in his tent, and thought no, you know, not from Jericho before, and thought no one knew. But they fell. The whole, you know, was it 3,000 Israelites were killed because of Achan's sin. See, the every single time your sin will find you out, because God knows what you're doing. You can look at everybody else and smile and lie and deny and justify. But I'm here to tell you, you're going to fall because the Lord, he will. It will come out. It will come out. What you're doing will come out. And you will be defeated. You will fall. And you can, you know, lie and say, oh, yeah, I'm walking with the Lord and we doing this and we doing that. But the Lord, in his love for you, will let your sin find you out. Because, you know, sometimes in order to save your soul, he will allow you to fall so that you can turn around. So that you can turn around. But, you know, and the Lord said, as that, you know, I'm looking for it as I'm talking to you. The Lord said, "They, you know, you cannot stand. You cannot stand." It's for you guys who want to read another time, Joshua chapter 7. That you cannot stand before your enemies when there is sin in your camp, even if you think that that sin is hidden. Joshua 7:12. You want to read that, Anthony? Joshua 7:12. In fact, Anthony, I'm going to have you I'm going to actually have you read verses 1 through 12. I said we're going to do it later, but Lord is leading me to read it now. So I'm going to have you, Anthony, read Joshua 7, 1 through 12.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Joshua 7, 1. But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel.
I'm going to stop you really quick. Pastor Edmund,
yep.
Would you read Joshua 6, verses 17 through 19?
Okay. Joshua chapter 6, verse 17 on. The city shall be under the ban. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord.
So it is only Jericho. Keep going.
What?
The city that was under ban was Jericho. I said Jericho, and then I said no, but it is Jericho, because the next sentence tells me it's Jericho.
Gotcha. Yeah, it belongs to the Lord, and only Rahab and the harlot and all who are with her in the house shall live, because she had hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, only keep yourself from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet them, and take some of the things under the ban, and make the camp of Israel accursed, and bring trouble on it.
Verse 19 also.
Oh, sorry. But all the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord.
Keep going.
So the people shouted, and priests blew the trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed everything in the city, both men and women, young and old, and ox, and sheep, and donkey, with the edge of the sword.
So I'm going to stop there. then we're going to go and, you know, I mean, if you continue reading 6, the Lord did and a huge, the walls of Jericho came down flat. You know, if you, to get some background, if you read back, you know, the army of the Lord, the, you know, the Israelite army marched around Jericho once a day for 6 days, not saying a word. All they were doing was marching. You know, I mean, talking about building up dread, hearing all these boots traveling around your city, and there's no sound except boots going around your city. And on the seventh day, the Lord says, on the seventh day, the priests are going to start, he wants the priests to start blowing the trumpets. And the men of war start shouting, and he's going to bring them walls down. And that's exactly what happened. But he said before then, Jericho is under ban. And all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Don't take anything. Because if you do, you will make my people cursed, and you will bring trouble on it. But now let's go back to verse 7, chapter 7. Achan decided he could pull it off and nobody would know. So, Anthony, I will have you start at 1 again and read.
Okay. Verse 1. But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them, so the Lord's anger burned against Israel.
Now Joshua things under the ban, right?
Yeah.
Anthony?
Yes.
Okay.
Verse 2. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, "Go up and spy out the region." So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, "Not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary the whole army, for only a few people live there." So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say? Now that Israel has been routed by its enemies, the Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?" The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them in their own possessions. That is
okay.
Why Israel..."
So, you know, and that's why a valuable lesson in needing to read, the Lord tells us, you know, we can never, I said 3,000 men died. But in verse 4, Joshua 7, 4, 3,000 men up, but what, only 36 died. But that was 36 too many. That broke the heart of their new leader, Joshua. And he fell out, and, you know, for him, that 36 men, they had been routed. And the Lord said, and he's praying, and he's like, you know, talking to the Lord, "Why has this happened? You know, brought us in, why has this happened?" And the Lord said, "Stand up. Stand up. Israel has sinned. Achan's sin, you know, when we sin, it never affects just us. It affects all of those around us. 36 men lost their lives And the nation was considered sin because one man had done this. So I'm going to have you, Mark, keep reading.
Okay, from Joshua 7.
Joshua 7, and start at verse 13.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're going to read to 26, 13 to 26.
Okay. Joshua 7, verse 13. Get up, consecrate the people, and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, for thus says the Lord, God of Israel. There are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought near by your tribe and the tribe that the Lord takes by lot shall come near by clan. And the clan that the Lord takes shall come near by households. And the household that the Lord takes shall come near by man by man. And he who is taken with the devoted things shall be burned with fire. He and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done an outrageous thing in Israel. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel near tribe by tribe. And the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought near the clans of Judah, and the clans of the Zerahites was taken. And he brought near the clans of the Zerahites, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought near his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord of Israel, and give praise to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua, truly, I have seen the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent, with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. And they took them out of the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the people of Israel. And they laid them down before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the cloak and the bar of gold, and his sons and daughters, and his oxen, and donkeys, and sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them up to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today. And all Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire and stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his burning anger. Therefore, to this day, the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor.
So, you know, Achor and, you know, Achan's whole family died as a result of this. God is a just and holy God. And so, you know, the first thing I wondered is, Lord, because the Lord says in Deuteronomy 24:16, fathers shall not be put to death for their sons, nor sons shall be put to death for their fathers. everyone shall be put to death for their own sin. So the Lord, you know, before they'd ever gone, one of his laws that he gave Moses is that, you know, everyone's put to death for their own sin, which means that Achan's family must have been accomplices to this, that they were aware of these hidden things in their tent. And that's why Achan and his whole family were put to death and everything he had was destroyed. Because this man's sin cost the lives of 36 men and had put the whole nation under ban, and the sin needed to be taken out. And this man thought his sin, nobody knew about it. Nobody knew about it, but the Lord knew about it. God had seen it. Pastor Chris, would you read Numbers 32:23? I'm sorry. I transposed that number. Numbers 32:23. Okay. Pastor Chris, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Numbers 32:23. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And be sure, your sin will find you out.
See, what we don't, a lot of folks don't understand is when we sin against the Lord. And we sin against the Lord God who sees everything. Hebrews 4:13, everything is bare before him. He sees it all. Darkness is not darkness to him. People think they do things in the dark and nobody can see it, but the Lord sees. You know, another example, he had Ezekiel, his prophet, dig through a hole in his temple and said, go dig there. I want you to see something. And there were all these priests, you know, in the dark. They painted idols, brought idols into the temple of God, and they don't think anybody sees. But the Lord saw. And the Lord sees us. He knows when we wake up. He knows when we lie down. He knows what our thoughts are when we're laying down. He knows what we're doing when we're doing it. We can lie to each other. But our sin will always find us out. Said all that to come back and say, the Lord is with us. He sees. He knows. And, you know, opened up with Numbers 14:9 that, you know, when the Lord is with us, we are not defeated. We're protected. And those that we fight against fall. But when the Lord is not, we are defeated. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. And Pastor Chris, I'm going to also have you read there too. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17.
Okay, 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 17. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you.
The Lord, you know, and Pastor Chris, I'm going to take you up to one, and we're going to read down. I'm going to have you read back down to 17. They were facing a huge army, and they were terrified. And the Lord said, this is not even your battle. I'm going to fight this one, and I'm with you. I'm with you. So let's go back up to verse 1. And read down to verse 17. Would you mind doing that, Pastor Chris?
Sure. Now it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the other Midianites,
Midianites, to
make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, and behold, they are in Hazon Tamar, that is, in Gedi." Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord for the new court. And he said, "O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? Are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, that no one can stand against you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? They have lived in it and have built you a sanctuary there for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out over the land of Egypt, they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. See how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you have given to us in inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude. Who are coming against us? Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All Judah was standing before the Lord, with their infants, their wives, and their children. And in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you."
So this huge multitude is coming against the king of Judah and his people. And they're standing in the Lord's temple, crying out to him and saying, "We are powerless. There's so many of these folks. We don't even know what to do. Our eyes are on you." And as they're crying out to the Lord tells them, don't be afraid. don't be dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. They're going to fight with me. I got this battle, and this is where they're going to be coming from. You don't need to do anything. I just need you to stand and watch me move on your behalf. Honey, I'm going to have you read verses 18 through 30.
Okay, in 2 Chronicles 20?
Yeah.
Okay. 18 through 30. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The Levites from the sons of Korahites, and of the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel.
It's the Kohathites and the Korahites.
Kohathites and the Korahites. Okay. The Kohathites and of the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord, your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed." When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." When they began singing and praising the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, When Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, they were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped.
I'm pointing something out before my husband continues to read. Basically, they took their station, and when they began to praise the Lord began to fight. The Lord himself began to fight on their behalf. They didn't even have to go into the battle. The Lord, as he said, "The battle is mine." And they turned on each other. This multitude turned on each other and killed each other, and no one had escaped. It was a total victory. It was a total victory. Because they trusted in the Lord. Okay, keep going, baby.
Okay. when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days taking the spoil, because there was so much. Then on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Beraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, they have named that place the Valley of Beraka until today.
In fact, the Valley of Beraka means the Valley of Blessing.
Okay. All right, Valley of Blessing.
Yeah. Keep reading.
Okay. Every man of Judah and Jerusalem returned with Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps, lyres, and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the dread of God was on all the kingdoms of the lands. When they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel, so the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God gave him rest on all sides.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah.
So, Pastors Edmund, Jeannie, and Chris, what have you guys, just, you know, each one of you, just kind of summarize what the Lord has said so far as God who is with us?
I think in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, like from what we've, the whole chapter basically, right?
We went to 30. There were 7 more verses we didn't read.
Right. That no matter what battle we face or what comes against us, it's always knowing that when we trust in God, God fights our battles for us.
Come on.
And you know, a lot of times our battles are resolved by him and by no one else. Not by our efforts. Not by our skills.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, it reminds of the scripture that says, be still and know that he is God.
Come on.
Often, it kind of reminds where our enemies will always try to do all kinds of stuff to distract us or put us out of place. As Jeannie said, if our eyes are focused on God, then the enemy eventually will burn itself out. It's really interesting because it also shows that God will be fair in all things.
Come on.
Revenge is his.
Come on.
We trust him. You know, we don't need to worry about how to give judgment to the enemies.
Yes.
So we just need to trust him on that.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Chris?
Yeah, I for me, it goes back to Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil.
Come
on. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So even though we don't know what's entailed, he does. And when we trust him, it's in his hands, and he fights the battles for us.
Yes. Amen. Honey, you want to add to that?
He is telling us that if we put our trust in him, and if we walk upright before him, that he will fight our battles for us.
Amen.
That we don't have to worry about fighting the battle.
Come on.
And especially if it is a vast number of people against us, they can't out-strengthen him. They can't out-fight him.
And it's not even just people. Whatever battle, I don't care how many things are going against you. I don't care if it's a multitude of things. God's got it. You know, in my health, there's a multitude of things going on in my health. But I still rejoice because God's got it. And every time something new, and something new, you know, was at the eye doctor, again, you know, after just 6 weeks seeing her, because I saw her 6 weeks ago because she said, it appears that the gel in your eye, behind your eyeball, is starting to come, you know, starting to come loose, and we need to up your treatment. Now, the enemy, you know, came and said, well, there goes your reading. There goes your teaching. It's like, not so. This is just another battle that my Lord's got. I'm not worried about my eyesight. I'm not worried about, you know, these different things. I know that my God, when he's ready, he gonna take it all out. So for me and for Pastor Chris, it's a whole host of things that are coming against our bodies. For someone else, it could be finances. It could be, you know, your walk. It could be, you know, if you've come out of addiction and now you're, you know, and you're battling, it's a whole host of things. But you know what? The Lord got it. For someone else, a host of things is the enemy saying, you know, just whatever. The Lord says, is saying to us today, no matter what the multitude is, no matter what the things are, they may be piling up, but I got it. And as long as you continue to trust me and walk uprightly with me, this battle is mine. You will be victorious because I will fight on your behalf. But what happens, Dora, Anthony, Mark, Mayana, Nahum, are you there?
He's not.
Okay. But what happens when we don't walk with the Lord? What happens when we pretend to walk uprightly? What happened in the case of Achan? Anybody?
Anthony just left, but Dora's there.
Okay.
Well, if we don't walk with the Lord, then we don't have the protection from the enemy.
Cool, come on. Amen. That's as powerful as you can get. I don't even need to add to that, but amen. If you don't walk with the Lord, you don't have the protection from the enemy. So for God to be with us, it means he's our protector. It means he's our support. It means he's that strong tower. He's that shield around us. That's not just a title. He is with us. And because he's with us, he is our stronghold. He's our stronghold. Mayana, will you read Psalms 9, verses 9 through 10?
9 to 10?
Uh-huh.
Okay. The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you.
What does that mean, Mayanna?
Well, it means that when you trust in the Lord, the same thing that we've been saying, when you trust the Lord, you belong to Him. So He's not going to forsake us because He's faithful. So we are His, and He's going to protect us.
Can you trust the Lord and not walk with the Lord? Not walk obediently with the Lord?
Nope.
Did I hear a nope?
Yes, you did.
Amen. Nope. Talk to me about it.
It's you're either all in or you're all out. There is no half measures.
Come on. Thank you, Brother Mark. Come on. What happens when you think you're half-stepping?
He very swiftly will show you.
Come on. Because of His mercy and love. Truly, because of His mercy and love. Let's look at also Psalms 59. Verses 16 to 17. Mayanna, I'm going to have you also read that one.
Did you say 59?
Uh-huh, Psalms 59, verses 16 and 17.
Okay, 59, 16 to 17. But as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning, for you have been my stronghold and the refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praise to you, for God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness.
Amen. What is a stronghold, anybody?
A stronghold is a refuge.
Come on.
It's unassailable.
Ooh, unassailable. What does that mean, Pastor Chris? I love that word, unassailable.
I'm not really, I can't describe that one.
Anybody else? Because I love that word. In fact,
was it unattainable or unassailable? I didn't hear it.
Unassailable.
That's a new word for me.
Anybody else? Honey, what'd you say?
Cannot be penetrated.
The
definition of it is unable to be attacked.
Come on. Keep going.
Yeah, that's just, it only gives a very brief definition.
But that's a good one. In fact, unassailable is the same thing as impregnable. Impregnable. Impregnable.
Yeah, it gives synonyms also. Impregnable, invulnerable, impenetrable, inviolable, invincible, unconquerable.
Unconquerable, cannot be conquered. Cannot be taken by assault. Our God cannot be taken. He is God Almighty. He is the strong man. Our Lord Jesus, the strong man. Nobody and nothing can defeat them. Can defeat him. Look at Isaiah 33:16. And we're almost done. So, Pastor Edmund, I'm going to give this to you because you haven't read very much.
Okay.
Isaiah 33:16.
Mm-hmm. He will dwell on the heights. His refuge will be the impregnable rock. His bread will be given to him, His water will be sure.
You know, this was, read up, Pastor Edmund, to 14 and then read down to 16.
Okay. Starting with 14. Sinners in Zion are terrified. Trembling has seized the godless. Who among us can live with the consuming fire? Who among us can live with continual burning? He who walks righteously and speaks with sincerity, he who rejects unjust gain and shakes his hand so that they hold no bribe, he who stops his ears from hearing about bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking upon evil. He will dwell on the heights. His refuge will be the impregnable rock. His bread will be given him. His water will be sure.
I love that, and I love what the Lord is saying. You know, gave me understanding, because I was like, Lord, what are you saying in verse 16? And just meditating, he said, he will dwell on the heights. He will dwell with me. His refuge, which is me, will be the impregnable rock. This gives a whole new understanding of Matthew 7:24-25. That the person who hears the word of God and then walks in it is like the one who builds his house on the rock. The reason that storm that comes and slams and, you know, the house won't fall because it's been built on the impregnable, the unassailable rock. It's been built on our Lord. And so it cannot be taken by assault, and it cannot be conquered. When you live your life based on the word, you will not fall. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
His bread will be given him. His water will be sure. His water. You will not hunger and thirst for righteousness. When you walk with the Lord, he promises to satisfy. Even that. And that is just understanding what it means for God to be with us. We still haven't even discussed he's among us, he's in the midst of us, he's beside us, and he's always with us. And I can tell you guys, as I was going through this with the Lord, I'm telling you, I went from woe to weeping. It was like, Lord, I got it. Write it on my heart. There is no reason after really walking in this and, you know, and praying for understanding and just listening to him, that you would walk defeated, that you would stumble and fall, because it's like, you know what? Keep my eyes on the Lord. And this is just one lesson, because when I asked him, Lord, what is the name of the study? He said, this is lesson one, Emmanuel. But out of this is going to come a series more than a name. So Emmanuel is just the one name we looked at tonight. And basically, the study is done. You know, it's got to be proofed, and then I will get it to you guys within the next couple of days, if our Lord is willing. That's our study for tonight. We're 2 minutes to 10 o'clock.